Welcome this morning. I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi. I know you haven't seen me in a few weeks. You may have forgotten who I was. I thought I'd remind you. Did you pray this week? No, did you pray this week? Did you pray this week? I hope so. Prayer is so important, and it checks us, and it changes things. I put a quote up on Facebook this week, something like this. It's like ambition versus obedience. Obedience opens doors that ambition never will. And you don't know where to be obedient sometimes unless you get in your prayer closet with God and let Him speak something to you. Where you're hung up, where you haven't made progress, is probably where you're disobedient. And God said, you're so ambitious to get something accomplished, but if you'll just do the thing I asked of you, when I asked you to do it, have you ever had to do that? It was super hard. Have you ever had to do that when you failed miserably? I failed more miserably than I've done super hard. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that. But the times I've done it, so grateful, because the door that God opens is amazing. And the doors I tried to bust open busted me. Anybody? So I encourage you to, Pastor Justin said, pray. So this is the season, like, don't forget, pray. You know, just pray. I want to recognize, first of all, I need to wear my glasses again. Today's message is simple. It's going to be soft entry. I'm back. I'm just kind of smoothly heading to the pulpit, you know. Jesus' words are very important. These are the things we're going to talk about, his words just prior to the crucifixion. So we're going to talk what Jesus said just before he was going to die. That'd be important. Like the last words, those are important words, right? It's Jesus, so we knew he was purpose. So I want to talk about what Jesus said just before he passed. And then talk about some stuff he said to us just after he rose. So I think it's important. This is the Red Letter series, and we're all going to lead this to the book of Acts. I'm trying to get us to the book of Acts. But I also want to acknowledge this is before I pray us in, and I have a guest help me here this morning. I can't stress enough praying for Uganda and for Miley. I would like to see 24 hours worth of prayer, and I'm not going to make you commit to this, but any of you, how about this? Any of you get up in the middle of the night, you're like, dang, I'm up in the middle of the night again. What time is it? What? It's 3:33. I ought to text that to somebody, you know. You're up. All right, keep your hands up because I'm looking. When you're up in the middle of the night, I need you to pray for Uganda and the team for Uganda and my like nobody's business. Whenever that is, whenever you wake up like, Jesus, before I steal my phone on the floor, Pastor John, I agree with him. All right, can you do that with me? So I am the church, and we pray. So, Father, I pray this morning I would not mess up Jesus' words, but I would just put them out there like you want them out there, and they would do what you called them to do. And we'd be changed again. We'd be renewed in that relationship, the kind of one that we got familiar with. And we let it maybe lapse. And his voice is less in our life than it used to be. Father, stir up your words in our hearts again. Draw us to that intimate place where nothing matters but you. In Jesus' name, amen. The series is Red Letters. I think we're in season 3. Which is amazing because they don't usually renew seasons unless they're really good, you know, so that's awesome. But I have to explain a little bit. This piece of leather that's loosely bound, and if I pick it up, many, if not all, the pages will fall out. And you'll see me, there'll be writing in here, up and scribbled down the side. And when I started studying the Bible, I was raised in religion, but I didn't know Jesus. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And I was so hungry for what just Jesus had. I was so tired of, like, I don't want to hear what somebody on stage has to say. I don't want to hear a podcast. I don't want to hear a preacher schmobo. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. So I spent a whole year just reading what Jesus had to say. And in my Bible, that one right there is the very first one I ever had. All I requested was that Jesus' words be in red letters. And it took a whole year just reading the red letter words of Jesus, and it changed me forever. It made me hungry for more of God. And started stuff in my life that, trust me, go back to my hometown, they'll go, he's on stage talking about who? Jesus. That guy's still alive. You know, but for God. And so I was thinking about this series, and I'm going to be concentrating on his words before and after his resurrection. But it's meant to be a progressive series to the book of Acts. So to be properly filled with the Holy Spirit, to be hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. If you're not, I hope you are. But to be properly filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to embrace the cross first. Some of you people come, I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And have you died to yourself? Have you accepted his sacrifice? And have you died to your own ambition? Because he only fills those who are dead to themselves. It's not about getting the gifts, it's those who have died. Then I can fill that with something. And dying's not easy. Ever have to die to something that you want really bad? It doesn't have to be the sin. It could be something I really want that. And God said, no. Oh, you guys get everything you ask for? Man, you pray for me more often. Dog. But the more you empty you are, the more you have space to occupy, right? So I want to say we're wading in. Wading in. So before we start, Sir Alejandro over the front row, he desires, pretty much begged me, Pastor, can I do this? Can I do this reading of dramatic proportion? You know, and I was going to get you this big robe, you know, and a chair, you know, and a goblet and just have you, you know, do that. And I thought, no, he'll hate that. He'll never do anything. Ask him again. He's like, phew. So the beginning of our scripture, before we chew it more in depth, Alejandro, our professional reader this morning, is going to read John 15, 1 through 14 in the Amplified. So this is hard. He's got a lot of words to say. So. And I may go, hold on a second. He may go, okay. So here you go, my friend.
How you guys doing?
I got it right there for you, too, dude. Look at that.
All right, so bear with me, all right? This is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes, so that it will bear more fruit and even richer and finer fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit, producing evidence of your faith unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers and dies. And they gather such branches and throws them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are vitally united, and my message lives in your heart. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified and honored by this. When you bear much fruit and prove yourself to be my true disciples, my Father is glorified and honored by this. When you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my true disciples, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you. If you keep my commandments and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you.
Thank you, Alejandro. You crushed it. Doesn't like a minute, 30 seconds seem like 4 hours? Yeah, it just seems long, doesn't it? You know, I was seeking truth through Jesus' words, and that's what matters most to me. You know, red letters, and we're going to start in John 15. We're going to do the New Living, though I wanted you to hear the Amplified, because it's sometimes you change translations, you hear what the root of some of those words are, and they go, oh, that cut's a little different, you know. And so sometimes I think it's important to jump into that. But right now we're going to do the New Living Translation. Pull up for me John 15, 1 through 4. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts. This is hard because this is a soft entry. Remember, this. We're just entering into the series. I'm just like, you know, I get in the pool. When I was young, I'd get in the pool like this. Wah! You know, splash people, they'd be mad. You know, like, so what? I jumped off the roof in this pool, you know. It's February. Deal with it, you know. Now I get in the pool like this. Oh, no way. That's how I get in the pool now. This is how the series is meant to be. I'm trying to get in the pool like this. But Jesus starts off pretty hot. So I'm going to try to like throttle it back a little bit as best I can. Throttling back is not my strong suit, so we'll try. The true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine. Was it his or did it just look like it was? He cuts off those who once might have started out as disciples, but not really anymore. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? He cuts off those who started off as disciples, but really that he's not first, he's not in, he's not anymore. He cuts off every branch of mine because it belonged to him that doesn't produce fruit. Say, I am called to produce fruit. Disciples are called to produce good fruit, right? Not to be a fruitcake. Church for so long been too much of fruitcakes and not enough fruit. You know, like, you know, just the whole bite into it's all sugar and weird. Church sometimes can be sugar and weird. Come on, ever been? Church can be sugar and weird. Because why? Because sometimes Christians can be just sugar and weird. But he's looking for real fruit in our lives, things that are being produced, right? Things that are coming out of those things. So it says he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. Wait a minute. I'll bear fruit and you're cutting on me? Ever feel like, Lord, I'm killing it? And all of a sudden he cuts a little something else off in your life or he pokes you somewhere. Ever do that? Like you're cruising, like, I'm doing good. How you doing? I'm good. I'm blessed. I am highly favored. I've been obedient. I'm doing good. You get in your prayer closet and God goes, what about this? You go, that's only a Twinkie, Lord. You know? No, prune that off. Prune off the Twinkies. Come on. Sometimes he prunes stuff off in us because he says, if you're a good branch, he'll do that. And if we don't let him prune stuff off, we hold on to dead things, they'll kill us. How many of you, I know this is vulnerable church. I'm pulling pastoral / counseling, but how many times have we had to learn that lesson? You held on to something dead that you wanted dead. Thank you, because I can come look into your soul right now. You know, it's true, right? But he prunes off those people who do bear fruit, right? Stuff that hinders us from becoming more. He's not just mean like, he's like, no, you got more. You're fruitful, but you actually have more. If I can just do this little trim, there's going to be more fruit there. And it's crazy how we fight, man, to hold on to fruitless stuff, right? Damaging stuff. Ever fight like, man, just arguing with somebody, you look back like, that was dumb. I was arguing for something that was definitely not good for me. My mom was right. I should have not dated that girl. She was right. Right? Some people's moms were right. They should have not been hanging out with me. Like, no, you should have listened to this. Don't hang out with that guy. They're parts of my life, right? So it's crazy how we hold on to stuff that God just wants to get rid of, and we think we're going to lose something, but we're going to gain stuff. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more fruit. You already have been pruned and purified. Ever felt that process? We've already started the process. If you came to Jesus, that's like dying to yourself. That's the first pruning. I'm cutting me off. He says, you've been purified and pruned by the message I've given you. It's a hard place as believers when we go through and we read his word, stuff that's hard, and we don't let it hit us. We become like Teflon cooking pan. No, that's not for me. Matrix. Lord, don't be launching that at me, you know. Thou shalt not be prideful. That's not me, Lord. I will leave that on the refrigerator for someone else to read, though. You know. Purified and pruned, the message I've given you. It says, remain in me. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. That's quite a promise. That's like, if you don't give up making me the center of your life, if you'll remain in me and you'll make every effort to remain in me, I promise I will show up in you and I'll produce fruit in your life. I promise it. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. And I will remain in you, staying, doing the right things, even if it's not popular. Yeah, remain in me. Even if it's not what I prayed for, yeah, remain in me. Ever have those experiences with your walk with Jesus? I have. You want me to do what? That's not going to be very popular, Lord. All my friends are going to make fun of me. They're going to say things about me. Facebook's going to blow up. I can't. And ever have a hard thing? God ask you a hard thing like that? Anybody? If he hasn't, then you haven't asked him. Because he's looking to make his church more fruitful than it's ever been. And that means he's trying to get rid of dead stuff in our lives. And we don't want to be branches that were cast away. We just want to be pruned. So if we don't give ourselves to the pruning process, we don't get the fruit process. You know? It says, say remain. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. I have a picture of grapevines from upstate New York. That is Keuka Lake. It's beautiful. Spend many of summer messing around there. And this is what you see growing all along the vineyards. It's amazing. They're all interconnected. All the fruit is somehow interconnected. It is an amazing thing. So when you picture a grapevine in your head, I want you to see, like, he's talking about remain in me, great, stay connected to me, and see all this fruit? You see all this? You see connected to me? All this fruit? That's what I'm looking for, you know? You can start off as a vine and end up as firewood. You can start off like, yeah, I'm connected. I'm praising. I'm giving God what he asked for. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying for the sick. I'm raising the dead. I've seen that everyone start that way. But the remaining during the hard parts is the hard part. Especially when it's the part where he's trimming on you. And he's saying you can't hold on to that dead thing anymore. Why? I said, because I need to produce fruit in your life. And most people go, well, God's in that. And judgmental, and I can't do that. And they start off with God, and they walk away. Ever been that? I've seen it. It's a problem I'd like to see fixed in the body of Christ. John 15, 5 through 8. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Yeah, he's divine, and you're his network of branches. And I started to think of it this way. Because I bank at Pinal County Federal Credit Union. And it's a branch, you know. And I was thinking about this analogy. We often want to withdraw from the vine, withdraw from the plant that we haven't invested in. So, for example, you can't draw out of my bank account because you haven't put into it, right? My branch. And sometimes we want a little withdrawal from God, but we haven't spent time to invest in the deposit. Come on. This is going to help us get where we need to go today. God is looking for that deposit season. You can feel almost revival in the winds. You can feel like he's doing stuff, not to pick on us, to go, I got to get better at what I'm doing. But it matters more. Jesus in me matters more than ever did before. You can feel him. He's poking me a little bit. Is he poking you? Just me and Danny. He's just poking us, you know. It says, you know, go make a deposit and do it continually. Those who remain in me, say remain. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Say muchas frutas. I do not know frutas in Spanish. It just sounded better. Did I do good, Marisol? Oh, yes. I accidentally did well that time. Muchas frutas, you know. Much fruit apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you who came to me, and I rescued your soul and cleansed your life, and you gave your life to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a hard part to do. When we are going to, and this is personal for me, and I'll throw it out there to you guys. Maybe this hits you, but when am I going to stop making my plans and pursuing my goals and keep pushing God to do my will? When am I going to stop making my own plans and my own will, and say, God, could you bless that? You know, often people, that's how we live. It's like the vending machine of God. Like, you know, I want this. You get this picture of, you know, it's, I want this. God will want me to have a boat. He might want you to have a boat. I'll use it for fellowship. I'll call it for fellowship. And I'll have you pray over it. And I'll donate the fish to homeless children in the community that we catch. How can that not be a God vision? Well, it's only a God vision if he gave it to you. And so often we put our prayer requests and we try to drive our ambition that looks like God, but it's not what he asked. And we have to change that factor. We have to abide in him. Because apart from him, no matter how ambitious and great it is, it will produce nothing. Nothing but hardship. It's truth. Anyone does not remain in me is thrown away. Say, ouch, Jesus. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch that withers. That sounds terrible. I've seen so many believers wither away because they just drifted from remaining. They're upset that Nana didn't greet them at the door, so they left. You know, pastor keeps preaching too much Jesus words. When is he going to preach the Old Testament? Pastor preached too much Old Testament. When is he going to preach Jesus? Pastor don't have enough social functions. Pastor has too much social functions. And God is saying, when are we going to connect back in him when none of that matters, but only the fruit in our lives matter? And he's looking for disciples to say, it's time to get connected like we have never been connected before. And that means a little work in us, but that means he's going to produce more fruit when you let that happen. So often I fight letting that happen. Anybody else? I'd rather you pick on Mark than pick on me, Lord. He deserves it. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that's helpful for daily Bible reading. You may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. That's a tough verse. And I know we only know in part. And anybody that explains scripture, I have the complete revelation on this. Be careful of that person. But I'm going to give you what I have on it. This is just what I have. If we deeply abide by the living a life focused on him, then often it aligns with huge miracles. If you live a life that's completely focused on him, obedient over your ambition, if we live a life that is sacrificially his and his alone, often when we do that, you'll find yourself in the midst of miracles. He still does amazing stuff. Don't be afraid to ask him if you really know him. If you're deeply connected to him and committed to him, ask him. I've asked big before, and I've gotten. Anybody ask big? You're like, man, I can't. Mark, you asked big. You're married to that girl right there. No one thought that could happen. To raise your head. Just come on. You know. Mark's just like, I'm going to punch you after church, pastor. You know. But ever asked big before and gotten it? Often I've asked for one thing and gotten better than I asked for. Say, hey, also. I've asked big and gotten nada. That's Spanish for nothing. And sometimes I got not right now. And the key is I will understand his ways are bigger than mine. Like his ways are bigger than mine. I'm asking for something that seems really great. I asked for a career as an undercover detective in law enforcement, and I would have been spectacular. It would have been, instead of Magnum PI, it would have been something Capozzi. And I would have done it. You know, and I was in. I was 100% in for Jesus. I was a bad guy, going to arrest, got saved, going to be a good guy, arrest bad guys, know where they live. They're going to be afraid of me. I'm going to be awesome at it. And I pursued it, and I pursued it, and I pursued it until I had an encounter with God, just like Jacob from the Old Testament, and my leg snapped in half, and everything changed. And I'm so grateful because I was pursuing my will over his. We got to understand sometimes his will is bigger than us, right? The point is we have a real relationship with the Father. If you have a real relationship with the Father, and he has something that you know, and he knows you, and you're going to do good, there's nothing my kids can ask me for. It's based on relationship. So he's trying to get us to that place. Maybe it's time that we have. Sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we're not faithful with the things that we're given. You know, ever have any children in your life and they ask for a ton of toys and they got a ton of toys and they picked up all the floor and you go, I'm going to give all these away. You're not taking care of them. Say, I'm the church. Sometimes. I'm a kid. Sometimes I'm a kid, you know. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. The proof's in the pudding. This brings great joy to my Father. So before I play this video, ask yourself, do I produce good tasting and healthy fruit for God and for others? Do I? The kind of fruit that is tasty that he asks for. Let's play the video.
Good at that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can stop me there, Jess. Yeah. This is not pudding. Ever expect one thing, get another thing? In your mouth, this is not pudding. What is this? I'm a Christian. Don't taste like Jesus. What is that? Well, you serve me. No, Jesus, I'm going to shove it down your throat. No, it don't taste like Jesus. I had Jesus served that way to me a lot. I've seen people pretend to be like Jesus and they're not like Jesus. And all of us have been hypocrites before, whether we intended to or not, because all have fallen short of the glory of God. He redeems us. But our job is to produce pudding. So when people taste your pudding, they're like, that's funky. I don't want that pudding. Just think of the Grinch. That's all I'm saying. I have a slide, I think. True disciples produce real fruit. True disciples produce real fruit. I know this is a soft opening, so I'm trying to just get things we can relate to. Jesus' words, they're now like when I got saved and the red letters I was reading, that became my new life instruction because I didn't really know how to live my life other than what I wanted. Definitely whatever I wanted is how I lived my life, what made me feel good, what I desired, what I thought was good. That's how I lived my life. I didn't ask anybody's permission. I didn't want anybody's permission. If you tried to even intervene in my life, I would probably cut you off for trying to say anything to me about what I want to do with my life. And then Jesus came in my life and I had to go, oh, wait a minute. I have a new life instructions. He's my main thing, not my side hustle. My value systems are now going to have to change and I'm going to have to live by what he values. Even if I disagree with how I feel about what he said. Even if I disagree about what he said, which is crazy, why would I ever disagree with God? But have you ever? Anybody? Just Lee Howell and I, Miss Hallie. Thank you. You know, right? Thank you. John 15:9-12. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Remain. Defined as keep on, continue, forward. Keep on, continue forward. You fall down. So the righteous man falls down 7 times. And how many times does he get up? All of them. Doesn't mean he doesn't fall down. The righteous man isn't avoid falling down. If anybody says, I've never fallen down since Jesus came, then watch out for that guy. But we can't stay down there and make excuses why I fell down and then geez, I fell down. I'll keep falling down, I guess, because I'm a faller. No, this is the season. Go, no more falling. Get up, each one of them, and let's go forward. Why? Because I have so much fruit for your life. I want to do things with you. Remain in my love. It says, when you obey my commands, you remain in my love. Just as I obey, you got to do it like Jesus. Oh. Yeah, he loved his own life, not even to death. Just as I obey my Father's command and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way. Say in the same way that I have loved you. So love other disciples like he loves you. It's very hard sometimes. Ever be offended or hurt by a disciple? Ever taste a disciple and they go, they don't taste like pudding? Ever? Sometimes that's really hard. Love like he does exactly. How did Jesus roll out love? That's a great question, Gina. Let's look into that. I want you to point at somebody. Pick a person. Point at them. You got them? Say, you are a good picture of Jesus. Yeah. Love like Jesus. Take on his ways. When you're a love like Jesus, you got to take on his ways. You got to embrace his ideas. We got to value what he commands us to do because it's our new life. Where's my west side at? West side, west side, west side. Ready, west side? You ready? I want you to point at the east side and say this. You actually should love just like Jesus. East side, you ready? Say, I'm rubber. You're... Yeah, okay. Teach them. John 15:13. John 15:13. There is no greater love. There is no greater love. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. But the world says, live for you. My flesh says, live for me. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. The church is supposed to love like that. You believe that? The church is supposed to love like that? Say, I am the church now. Who's supposed to love like that? This fella, right? John 15:14. You are my friends if you are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus is being really clear. Like, if you look up every translation, it means the exact same thing. Every one of them that you look up, this is how it says it. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, it's not what you know, but it's what you do with what you know, right? It's not what you know all the time. I've known lots of things, and I don't do much with what I know. Sometimes I pretend I don't know it, so I don't have to do it. When it comes to plunging the toilet and things, I don't know. I've never seen a plunger, babe. It's crazy. You stick the wooden end in? I don't stir it around? No. No, I'm not that much of an incompetent, but I'm just saying. John 15:15-17. I no longer call you slaves. Hey, this is a hard truth to us free Americans. We must willingly accept that he's our master or no salvation for you. If he's not our master, if he can't change the course of what we do and what we say and how we activate our lives, and when he cuts something off our life and we refuse to let him cut it, and we know that it's him cutting that thing, and we're going, oh, what are you doing? He's saying, I'm trying to produce fruit, and we refuse to cut it. Then he's not our master. And I know it's real popular, like, Jesus is my friend. That's a great popular bumper sticker. That's an earned position by lots of sacrifice to obey and show how much you love him and lay down your life for your friend, like he laid down his life for us. But you got to start the relations off in a master-servant relationship. He is God. I'm not. He sets the rules. Whether I like him or not, I got to do it his way. And if I do it his way, I remain in him, I'm going to have some fruit. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. I love that. I hope you get a chance to have a moment with God. You can transition your prayer life from him just only being master, the great God of the universe who you prostrate in front of and who you are afraid to ask questions when you honor and respect, and that's great. But I hope at some point in time you enter into such a deep relationship where you feel that friendship, where God speaks to you because you walk with him on a regular basis. And that's an important thing. Friends. I call you friends. I've told you everything the Father told me. But here's a big, important part of it. You did not choose me. I chose you. And forget that, because we surrendered our life to Jesus, so we chose Jesus. He's like, no, you accepted me, but I chose you. I brought you to that point, that low point that you cried out for. I did that, like, I didn't know how many low points it was going to take. I took that, why? So you would cry out to me. Each one of them in this room is a miracle. If you accept, raise your hand. If you're not a born-again Christian and you would feel awkward not raising your hand, you can pretend right now. I'll let you fake it. But if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand for me right now. Put your hand up for just a second. He chose you. The words he's working through his word right now in your life at this season is working on his chosen ones. He's not mad at you. He's not trying to cut you off, smack you down. He's saying, this is the season I want you to be so fruitful, and I never want you to forget you thought you chose me, but I chose you. It blows my mind. It could bring me to tears. Why in the world would you choose me? But he chose you. all your walks of life, all your idiosyncrasies, every time you've fallen down, every time you've gotten back up, every time of sacrifice, every moment that you felt alone, he said, I chose you. Don't forget that you just thought you chose me on a random thing. I chose you. I appointed you to go. Oh, let that sink in. I appointed you to go. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. He will give you stuff in situations to help produce fruit in your life. He will even send his Spirit to you to produce fruit in your life. He's got a goal. This is my commandment, that you love each other. This is my commandment, that you love each other. Say the church has to lay it all down to love like him. Raise your hand if you're the church. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. That's not always comforting. Okay, great. You know, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. You are no longer part of the world, so stop living that old dead life. Let it go. That branch you've been holding on to for your old dead life, let it go. Why? Because that's the thing that's killing your fruit. He said, I love you so much, I want you to be fruitful. And he's working on those things. You can probably feel it in your life. You are no longer part of the world because I chose you. I chose you to come out of the world. So if it hates you, you know, the changes I made when I first, I don't know if you experienced this, when I first became a Christian, it was such a radical lifestyle change. It made a lot of people mad. Like, I had people angered. My mom, for a long time, was angry at me because I was no longer going to the Catholic Church. And I was not participating in ungodly activities with my friends anymore. And they were actually angry with me. And that was really hard because I felt so alone because that's what I had my whole life. I had brothers and sisters. I had guys who went from kindergarten to college. And they saw every aspect of me. When I found Jesus, man, they're angry. Some of them still to this day. It costs us something sometimes. Sometimes we got to come out of stuff. And people may dislike you for a season for it. Some of those friends are coming back to Jesus now, though. Some of those friends are calling me up and go, hey, Posey, I saw this on Facebook. Yeah, man, Jesus. So it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they're going to persecute you. You make changes trying to live like Jesus, expect persecution sometimes. And I'm not talking about persecution where we're obnoxious, we're fake jerks. I'm talking about we made changes and that ruffles people's feathers wrong. Dr. Heidi talks to us all the time. She said, I never heard anybody ever get saved at a crusade by someone yelling at him with a blowhorn. Get saved, repent, you're all sinners. I don't know anybody that's ever responded to that in a positive way. I've seen a lot of negative response, but I've never seen it that way. Be persecuted because you're making changes for Jesus. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected me, the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. Say red letters. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Say no excuses. Take a deep breath. Say it again. No excuses. He's talking to us, the branches. There are things in our life he's saying, I'm not trying to tear this off of you. And this is the season. I don't want any excuses. Let me do it, please. Because the fruit you're praying for is coming, but this dead thing is keeping you. Get connected to me more than you ever have before. Why? Because I want to produce fruit. I'm not being mean. I'm a good gardener. I'm putting good fruit stuff. No excuses. These are Jesus' red letters. John 15, 23 through 25. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, if I hadn't done miraculous signs that no one else could do, Ever have God do something for you and you say, I will never forget it. My faith will never be challenged again. God, you did this big thing. I never thought you'd do it. And I will never doubt you again. I prayed for a smoothie and a smoothie showed up. I was famished in my office. Oh, my friend brought a smoothie. It was life-saving. I will never forget this deed. Ever have stuff like that? You prayed and God did a thing. I'll never forget it. I'll have faith forever for this. Anybody? Yeah. I have faith forever now. He proved himself one time and you vowed to remain in him, but, right, sometimes that but gets us. If I hadn't done such miraculous things that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, and they still hate me and my Father. Ever see God do stuff for people, and it seems like minutes later, they say stuff like, God never did anything good for me. Like, bro, you were living on the corner with nothing. Sometimes that perspective needs to shift, and Jesus is trying to get us off those things. Say, oh, me. Yeah, this fulfills what is written by the scriptures. They hated me without cause. John 15:26. Here's a wonderful, beautiful processing part. But I will send you the advocate. I will send you the advocate. I will send you the Spirit of truth. And he will come to you from my Father and will testify about me. And you must also testify about me. You must also testify about me because you've been with me from the beginning. Here's my thoughts. Jesus said, and this is a soft opening to red letters, and these are just reminders. So if you'd stand with me for just a second. Jesus said these things. I got a slide, I think, Joe or Jess. The church should remain close to Jesus. Do you believe that? Say, I am the church. The church is made up of true disciples that produce fruit. Do you feel like that he's pushing that button in your life right now, like he's working on anything in your life? You getting any maintenance from God? Is he overhauling anything? Is he pointing? I'm not saying like, is he pointing things out for other people? I'm saying, is he pointing things out to you to go, yeah, okay, I got to work on that. It could be anything, but you know it's a God thing. The church should be true disciples and produce fruit. We should be good pudding. Say good pudding. Good pudding. Jesus commanded that the church love one another. Some of you guys are awesome at it. Some of us aren't so great. But he's pushing me, right? Jesus told the church that we should lay it all down just like he did. It's our path. It's our purpose now. So what am I supposed to do with my life? Lay it down and do what? Obey Jesus. What's that going to do? Produce fruit. The church's job to testify about Jesus. Say, the church's job is to testify about Jesus. Say, I am the church. I recommend this. I recommend that each one of you that have had a God encounter before, tell your stories to each other. Like, you want to hear what God had done in people's lives so your faith can be encouraged. And you need to be re-encouraged of what he's done in your life. You think people know all your story? Like, a lot of you don't even know each other's names. The church is just growing, growing. I encourage you not just find somebody that you don't know their name, and ask them their story. Yes, you look terrified, but you tell them your story too. She's looking like, Pastor, if you get any closer, I'll chop you in the throat. Throat chop me. But tell your story. It's part of spreading Jesus around. Your authentic story matters. Lots of people will never open their Bibles till you open your life. Lots of people will never open their Bibles till you open your life. And you don't have to be perfect. You just need to get up every time. Let him prune the stuff off. Let him polish you up to look just like him. Say, I am the church. So I'm going to pray that you go in peace today. And at some point in time today, from now until you lay your head down, you get to tell someone your Jesus story. So, Father, I thank you for an amazing church. Branches, Father, that are letting you prune them to produce fruit, Father God, that are running, though they're weary, Father, I pray you refresh them. And I pray the strength this year, Father, to produce such incredible fruit, Lord God, that their own lives are overflow with it, but they got to give fruit away to their neighbors. I ask you to make new season fruitful for your hand this year. We pursue nothing that's not you. and produce the fruit in us, Father, that we would love each other enough to lay our lives down, just like you did. In Jesus' name, amen.